A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand that the scripture, that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and the children can come up for a children's homily. Right there. That's a good, right? I'm going to sit on the step here, and y'all can sit all around in front of me. Oh, goodness gracious, we got a nice group today, don't we? Hey, okay, so I've got a thing here. I'll hold it up so your parents can see this thing. And I'm going to balance it on this little stand right here. Let's see if I can do that. And if I put it right there, very carefully, uh-oh, it fell. Let's try that again. Right on this little stand and let it go, and it keeps falling. Pardon?
Keep trying? Yeah, keep trying.
You want to try it? You want to try doing this? Who else wants to try? Come here and put. See if you can get that to stand on the little. I don't think you can get through all the crowd here. We got a crowd this morning. But here, I'll bring it to you, okay? All right, can you get it to stand on that little piece? Oh, it keeps falling. So maybe it is. We'll say, let's try something else. Let's put the stand back down, okay? And I need a volunteer to hold this little ring. Okay, you can hold the ring. Roll the ring for me. Hold it really hard, right? Roll tight. You got it? Now look. It's balancing on the edge. Why is it doing that? Who knows?
What? Because it's spinning.
That's right. It's called a gyroscope. And it spins really fast, and it exerts pressure in all directions at once, and that makes it very stable. And as long as it keeps spinning very fast, it stays on the, and then when it slows down, it falls off. Because it needs that pressure to revolve around the little stick in the middle. And the stick in the middle is called the axis. The axis. And as long as it's spinning around the axis, it remains very stable. Now, you have something similar in your car called an axle, which the wheels revolve around. But this is an axis. It's the center of a gyroscope. And you know, there are really gyroscopes all around us. It's one of the most stable forces in all of the universe. The Earth is really a big gyroscope. It's spinning around its axis, isn't it? And the whole solar system, all the planets, 8, 9, 10, I don't know, they keep changing the number, but lots of planets, and they all revolve around the sun, and that's how they remain in a stable orbit. The axis and that which revolves around it creates something that is stable and that cannot be moved until it slows down. So we're going to talk today about how Christ is the axis of our lives. As long as our lives revolve around Him, around what He taught, And how he... Pardon?
We won't fall.
That's right. We won't fall. Very good. You are smart. You know that? I tell you that every children's homily, I tell you that. As long as we revolve around him, we won't fall. We will stay stable in our lives. But if we stop revolving around him and try to go our own way, that's when we fall over. All right? So we're going to talk about that a little more this morning. But thanks for coming up. I wanted to play with this little gyroscope because I've loved gyroscopes since I was really little. A little later, after Mass, okay? Because I've got to preach to the grown-ups now, okay? Okay, parents, the gyroscope is going to be in here in the ambo, and after Mass, if you want to bring your kids up and show them how it works, that's fine. Okay. So, is my grandson here? He didn't make it? Oh, I'm such too bad. Okay, so Cheryl and I were talking to our grandson earlier, and we were talking about the relationship between Christmas and Easter. Because without Christmas, there could be no Easter. And without Easter, there's really no reason to celebrate Christmas, is it? You see, it is this day that gives us focus into the life of Christ. Because this act, him rising from the dead, suddenly proved everything that had happened before up to this point in his life. The importance of his incarnation and nativity, the importance of his teaching, what he had to say to us. The reason, you know, the proof of that his passion really meant something. All because on this day, we begin to see with clarity that the life of Jesus was much more than just some wise rabbi, some good teacher, of which the world has known many. But it was something very special about Jesus. You see, some people say Buddha was a good teacher, but he didn't rise from the dead. People say Confucius was a good person, a good teacher. But if you go to his grave, he's still there. Jesus is different, and this day makes it different. But it's important to see the life of Christ, the Christ event, let's say, not as a lot of individual pieces, but as one whole. So, you know, in the church, we celebrate the various aspects of the life of Christ on different days. We celebrate the Annunciation, in which the incarnation actually began, because God became a child in the womb of Mary, who by her fiat announced, "Let it be done to me according to your word." And so God was able to become man within her womb. And the Nativity, we felt celebrate that on Christmas, when God became a little baby, held in his mother's arms and at his mother's breast. We celebrate his life and teaching ministry largely through ordinary time, as every Sunday we hear another of the teachings of Jesus, that we can meditate on those and ponder those and incorporate those in our lives. And there are so many teachings we call that ordinary time. It's the biggest season of the year. We celebrate his passion during Holy Week. And today we celebrate his resurrection. But it doesn't end here. Because in 40 days we'll celebrate his ascension into heaven. And in 50 days we celebrate his return in the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, so that he would dwell within his church by the presence of his Holy Spirit until the end of time. And all of that is really one event. We call that the Christ event. And that's what our life... gives it us purpose in our lives. We're talking about the axis, how our lives need something to center on. And if our lives are not centered on the life and teaching ministry and of Jesus, then we get lost. But how does that look in an ordinary life, when life is filled with with work and with taking care of the kids and paying a mortgage and making car payments and fixing up the house and saving a little money for college. Maybe you get a couple of days that you get to go out and do some of your hobbies. And how does all that relate to the real world, to the real life that we live? You see, for most of us, we find our lives centering around our obligations and maybe a hobby or two. But that is not a sufficient axis to draw our lives into centeredness, to center our lives. I was talking with a physicist once. I was working on a book that I haven't finished yet. This was years ago. We call it The Quantum God. And so I was discussing some issues of quantum mechanics and different interpretations of the Thomson two-slit experiment. And I know you're all going to go home and Google that, right? But I asked him this question. Why is it that so much of the universe is flat? You know, why is it that the planets all revolve around the sun kind of in the same plane? Why don't they just go all kinds of, you know, why do they go all around the sun in different directions? Why is it that the Milky Way galaxy all, you know, revolves in one's plane around the center of the galaxy? Why don't they just go in all kinds of different directions? Why does the galaxy look like a saucer or a plate and not like a big ball? And he says, well, that's called the plane of motion. And I said, well, I've got a name for it now. But why? And here's why. Because God created the universe that all things need to center around an axis. All things need to revolve around something and form a unified whole. It's a physical law of the universe. We need a center. And even look at the rings of Saturn. Why are there rings around Saturn? Because they have a center. And if our lives do not have a center, then all the different aspects of our lives, our job, our work, our school, or whatever, all begin to collide into each other. And we see that in our society, in our world today, don't we? That things are colliding because they are not centered on the one center of the universe that is the incarnation of our Lord. Our God who became man to show us who God is, to teach us what God is like, to teach us how we are to live our lives, and rose from the dead to prove it. I mean, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if we didn't have this day of Easter, no one would have taken Jesus seriously. He'd have just been lumped with a bunch of other people who say, oh, they were a good teacher, but probably none of us have read what they had to say, right? But because he rises from the dead, he demonstrates he is worthy of us to center our lives on him. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is our King. Any Tolkien fans here? I've liked the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien long before they were movies. But you remember the scene in the movie in The Lord of the Rings when Legolas, the elf, says to Boromir, who is one of the captains of Gondor, he says to Boromir, Aragorn is your king. You owe him your allegiance. And Boromir replies, Gondor has no king. Gondor needs no king. Remember that line? Remember that part of the movie? That's the way we are so often, isn't it? I have no king other than myself. I need no king other than myself. I can make up my life as I go along. I can juggle all my balls. Yes, you can. But the truth is we can't, right? things start slipping, things start falling, our world begins crashing, all the aspects of our life come crashing into each other. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a hard day for her. She's fine. Now, a lot of us come here on Easter Sunday for different reasons. Some of us come to honor the resurrection of our Lord. Some of us because it's a habit or it's a tradition in our family. Some of us come because just to get your wife off your back, right? Surely you're going to go to Mass on Easter. But do we come today and every Sunday, every time we come to Mass, to recenter our lives, to hear the teachings of our Lord and to apply them to us, to find ways that we can actually center our lives on Christ? Now, I know of all the reasons that you come to Mass, none of you come to Mass to have this priest tell you what to do. And that's a good thing. I have no business telling anybody what to do. All I am is someone to try to point you to Christ and allow His Holy Spirit to speak into your heart so that you discover your center. How are you centered around Christ? You know, God created each of you here for a purpose. God created me for a purpose. And if we fulfill that purpose in our lives, then we find our lives work. They are centered. We are able to experience fulfillment and peace and joy in our lives because we are centered around Christ. Our lives fulfill His purpose for us. Now, from personal experience, I'll tell you, I have tried everything I could to avoid being a Catholic priest. I did. All right? I was in the military for a while. I was a Protestant minister for a while. I was in a stockbroker. I've done all kinds of things. But none of them gave me fulfillment. None of them centered my life. And whatever I tried, everything seemed to just be crashing in on each other. And then finally, I surrendered. Became what God created me to be. And now my life has fulfillment and peace. I know I am doing what I was created to do. And the only way for you to find that in your own lives is to prayerfully seek God's Holy Spirit to lead you. You don't necessarily know what God has called you to be or to do. But if you seek God's heart in your heart to know what He has formed you for, and you pursue that with your whole being, then you can know the fullness of what Easter is all about. There is resurrection. And like all resurrections, it requires a death, right? And sometimes we have to surrender our own will, our own desires, our own purposes, what we want out of our lives, and give them to God and let Him form us what He wants. And that is the path to resurrection. And that is called surrender. I'm going to sing a song. I was actually going to sing this song several weeks ago on one of my Thursday night masses, but it snowed that night and we had to cancel Mass. The next week I remembered my guitar, but I forgot to bring the song. The third Thursday night was Holy Thursday, and I couldn't do it then. So now you get it. Come, Holy Spirit, come,
and fill my soul. Come, Holy Spirit, come and make me whole. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments, take my days, let them flow in a ceaseless praise. Take my silver, take my gold, not a cent would I withhold. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is your own. It shall be your royal throne. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill my soul. Come, Holy Spirit, and may